Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
All right. Purple Daily on draft. Combine is over. Love the combine. 40-yard dash times, three cone drills, vertical drills. Old friend Kellen Mond getting handoffs in, throwing to DBs. Did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah.
Thought it was hilarious. Hey.
Him and Trace McSorley.
I was going to say him and McSorley were both just showing out.
That'd be like if, like, you know, like obviously spring training is going on in baseball. If, like, just some has-been pitchers like, yeah, I'll throw a BP today. I got nothing else to do. I'm not signed yet. I'll gladly throw some batting practice. Good for Kellen Mond getting some work in.
Steve Palazzolo from PFF throwing batting practice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I like that. Could also be a legitimate thing. Oh my God, that'd be awesome. Let's get a heavy combine talk here. So now the combine is over. One of the big draft benchmarks. We're about 6 weeks away from the draft. And by the way, we only have we talked about this in Purple Daily. I don't know if I filled you guys in, but of course the draft party that's happening April 25th, we only have 7,500 tickets left. So there's been a ton of demand and interest for this. We're gonna have a little bit more info for VIP tickets in the coming days because those sold out really quickly. But the Purple Daily on Purple Daily Draft Party, I want to keep calling it the Purple Daily on Draft Party. Phil and Judd would probably be a little upset about that, but hey, let's be honest. I mean, this is the crown jewel of our thing. This whole show is built around the draft. Miles and Forno will be at the draft party as well. So April 25th at the Fillmore in Minneapolis, we're going to have a blast. Can't wait to talk draft and watch that unfold. But combine. Let's just start here. Let's start big winners of the combine. We were talking off mic, defensive line might have been a little disappointing. We can kind of get into that in a little bit here. Let's start with winners, though. Forno, for you, who was a big winner? You can kind of start anywhere you want. I'll let you have a pick-your-own-adventure here with any offensive or defensive player. Who was a big winner that stood out to you at the NFL combine?
Oh, there were a couple. And you can obviously start with the Texas receivers. Everybody knew Xavier Worthy was fast. It shows up on his game film. He is a former track guy. I think in high school he ran a 10.5 5.40, and like when you look at some of those things, it's like, okay, he's going to be fast.
100
how,
human.
Yeah. 100.
Yeah.
How fast is he? And a lot of guys who are really, really track fast will run in the 4.3s. A couple will run in the 4.2s, but then when you get a 4.25, it's like, okay, all right. Well, and then he runs the 4.21, and it's just like, okay, everything that you saw on tape matches completely. And I had him as a fringe first-round grade because I thought he had, especially for a speed guy, because guys who are super athletic or super fast don't often have a lot of technical nuance early on in their games. They develop that way later because they can out-athlete you. And I thought he had more nuance in his route running than somebody I would expect from his, with his speed caliber. And it was really impressive. And then his teammate, Adnai Mitchell, 6'2 and a half, 215, runs a 4.34. And you just got to think, like, what was Quinn Ewers doing? How are we not getting more out of these receivers? It's truly remarkable that Texas wasn't even better than they were last year, because now you see these guys don't just look athletic on film. They're taking it to this testing, and it was really, really impressive to kind of watch. One guy I really wanted to talk about, Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin, the center. He ran a sub-5.40. He ran a record three cone, I think, for offensive linemen at, I think it was what, like 6'6"?
Great mullet.
Or something like that.
This guy looks like Jared Allen as an offensive lineman, man.
Oh, yeah. And then he ran a sub-4.3 short shuttle, which there's kind of a benchmark for offensive linemen. If you run under a 4.45, it's almost like a guarantee that you're going to have a long career barring injuries, because that kind of short movement ability is really, really, really impressive. And then the last guy I want to focus on is Florida's Ricky Pearsall. I thought his 2022 film wasn't very good. And talking to people, like watching Anthony Richardson, like, who's this one? He sucks. And then he comes in this year, has a different role in the offense, is more of the, hey, I need a play, I'm going to you kind of role. And that's like the Vikings kind of use TJ Hawkinson with that. Like, oh, I need 8 yards, I'm going to throw him a choice route. They kind of did a lot of that with Pearsall in different ways. And he is much more athletic than I anticipated. Jeremy Fowler posted a video of him hooping the other day, and he was getting like 4 feet off the ground and just dunking with ease. And then you look at the vertical jump, 41 and a half, a 4.41 40. The movement drills were great. And he has arguably the greatest catch I've ever seen, that where it's like the Odell Beckham Jr. catch was really impressive, but he's going out looking like Air Jordan. And then the second his foot hits the ground, he gets slaughtered by a safety. Like, he's got the full package, and they use him in like Percy Harvin-esque ways, where they'll give him like a jet sweep or a reverse. And then he's housed like three of them from at least 30 yards out. So he's got a really great profile. I don't know if it's necessarily round one, considering the depth of this class, but if you like top 40, like, there are guys who made themselves a lot of money. But at the end of the day, you have to take these numbers and equate them to the film, because the film is 100% the most important thing. And this needs to be used to contextualize and answer questions.
Okay, Miles, obviously Xavier Worthy has a ridiculous day. I know you tweeted out, you don't make the rules, but right, the Ravens or Dolphins are the only teams. Did I have those two teams right, or was it the Chiefs and Dolphins? Chiefs and Dolphins are the only two teams to make Xavier Worthy, draft Xavier Worthy. You don't make the rules. That's just how football and those prospects go. What did you think of Xavier Worthy and anyone else that probably stood out to you at the Combine? Who was another winner for you?
Well, I mean, you said Worthy. I mean, it's just fun to watch. I remember watching that. My wife, my kids were running on. They hated the fact that I had the Combine on. But I told them, like, hey, I'm going to be watching the Combine. You could play, you could watch, but like, this is what. And then when I got excited when Xavier Worthy ran it was considered a 4.22 on the tracker, but obviously it became a 4.21 official. It was fun to watch. Like I said last week, watching guys that are like you expect to be fast to be even faster, it's just a lot of fun. Like, I love watching that. And I knew the second he ran the 4.22 that he wasn't doing anything the rest of the day. Like, I just knew it. You could just tell. Like, when guys do that, they're not doing anything else, because why? And I think Worthy probably should have, just because, like, as a prospect, he's still not like 4.0 kind of mentioned. He's like that late first, you know, early day two type of prospect. He's not like one of the top tier guys. But hey, if you can break a record, you could probably end the day for you. So I thought that was cool. But I thought the Michigan guys looked good today, over the week, the combine. Like, and they had, like, I think a record number of players at the combine, Michigan did. But I just thought, like, Blake Corum, like, J.J. McCarthy had some inconsistencies throwing, but like the testing and obviously the velocity of those things, they showed out, and apparently he did well in the interviews. Roman Wilson, who I'm really high on, like those guys, Chris Jenkins, like, I felt like all those guys kind of like did everything you kind of expected them to. I didn't really dive too much into the old linemen, but I felt the Michigan guys overall did a really good job, especially coming off a national championship where, you know, a lot of those guys are fatigued and tired, but I feel like they still kind of showed out. We didn't touch on them, and I haven't done a deep dive into them, but like Isaac Guerrero, I know I think Forno was tweeting about him from Louisville. I haven't watched enough of him.
Tape yesterday.
Yeah, I haven't watched enough of him, but like that dude just like out of nowhere to me was like holy, like I almost swore. But like that dude, like he like blew up, right? Like that was crazy. So like that's definitely a guy. Like when we talk about the combine, some guys you haven't like watched enough going in. When they like kind of like show out of nowhere, you're like, okay, I need to go and watch this dude like do a deeper dive. Mm-hmm. He's definitely one of those running backs I need to do a deeper dive into, just because he blew up for especially for being as I think he's like 220, 225. Like he's big. So when you see explosive. Mm-hmm. Explosive results like that, you want to see more on tape. So those are a couple guys.
6'2", 221, former track guy, was a wide receiver in high school. And
which I love. I love to hear that, by the way.
He only has 273 career touches in college, but he had a couple injuries, and then you get buried behind Jonathan Taylor, Braylon Allen, Jawar Jordan. It kind of makes sense. If you just watch his Virginia Tech tape from this year, you think this guy could be a first round pick because some of that explosiveness, but it's weird. Because he has great straight line speed, and it's kind of like that Michael Bennett theorem where he's got the great straight line speed, but the change of direction burst isn't there. Yeah. And when he has to change directions in the hole or read off
north-south type of guy.
Yeah, wide zone and then cut back. He's got good vision, but that burst that you expect from a guy who's that fast and has that kind of track background just doesn't show up in those change of direction elements. I think he's a great use of a fourth round pick because there's a lot of tread on the tires, even though he's a 6-year senior, because he only has 273 career college touches. But there is a lot to like. I think if you put him on the Ravens, because I just think man gap power, here's a hole, hit it. I think it's probably going to be the best usage of him, even though you can do some real zone stuff and he can be successful. There, like his contact balance is great because he's basically lower half is Declan. It's thick. It's pretty impressive. I mean, he's a track guy. So,
hey, I did track. Okay, I did a little track. I ran 400. Oh. I wasn't fast enough to do one. Yeah, I know. I love Olympics, like side street Olympics 400. Love 400.
Dude, the 400 is insane. People that can run the 400, you're insane. Yeah. I think that's just a whole new level of sprinting.
Yeah, it's not straight away sprinting, but you can't take any like 100 meters off. Basically, I would be dead after every time I ran it. It was not fun.
Well, speaking of guys that look like Declan, the white boy receivers, like you mentioned Ricky Pearsall, but like Ladd McConkey, Luke McCaffrey, like those guys showed out. Like they were really athletic, and I know we always got that misnomer of like they're more athletic, sneaky athletic, but like these dudes weren't sneaky athletic. These dudes were athletic. Like they were showing out. Over the weekend. Yeah. So like dudes that look like Declan running 4.3s and 4.4s and
mustaches
jumping
too.
High and mustache. Well, probably. I mean, I don't know.
If Ladd McConkey was named Joe Smith, he would have already been talked about as a first round pick.
Right.
But his name is Ladd McConkey. Yeah. That's why people really slept on him.
I think he's the guy to me that like, I know you said Ricky Pearsall is a top 40. I think McConkey is the guy that I think is going to be a top like 35-ish pick. His senior bowl, his tape is really good. Like, I just think all of it come together. I think that dude's like one of those like guys that late first, early second, maybe even earlier than that is one of those guys I think is going to be a high pick for a team.
McConkey
especially
needs
in a deep...
to be a Kansas City Chief.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be awesome. But it wouldn't surprise me if a team like the Ravens wanted to kind of get involved, like somewhere in that like late 20s wanted to jump the Chiefs for a pick like that. But I thought those guys showed out. And then obviously the edge rushers, Chop Robinson. I know that's your guy, Forno.
Oh, yeah.
Jared Verse just being as big as he is. And then Dallas Turner was so explosive. Like, that dude showed out. Like, he's not quite as big as like, a Verse and Robinson. But, you know, I thought his arms, he's got, like, not pterodactyl. But, like, yeah, like, pterodactyl, like, long, what, 34 and 3, almost 34 and a half inch arms. Mm-hmm. Ran a 4.46, jumped 40 and a half. So, like, that's explosive. Like, that dude... Obviously on tape is fun to watch, but I know there's like kind of I think these guys competing for that first edge rusher off the board, but I thought those guys all showed out. So that was a lot of fun. And then Max Melton, I mentioned last week, real quick.
Your
last
one, Declan. Awesome.
Max Melton ran a 4.339, just like I said, his brother's super fast, the Packers receiver, but he blew up the combine as well at corner from Rutgers. So he's another guy that I think could be a day two guy.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, hey, I do want to get into what RAS scores mean, what all these, honestly, combine measurements mean and how that affects draft profiles. I want to get into that here in just a bit. But quarterbacks, what did we think of the quarterbacks? Michael Penix kind of had a good combine showing. J.J. McCarthy impressed off the field. There was some still highs, too, in his throwing drills. Fordo, what did you like from the quarterbacks that ended up throwing at the combine?
So I'm going to be 100% real. I learned nothing, and I think that's okay. The quarterbacks were good. Joe Milton could, like, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but Joe Milton should, like, be in the circus and just throw 90-yard bombs consistently and just make a ton of money doing that because he's so good and it's so impressive watching him because he basically threw a 75-yard ball flat-footed. No effort. Just, all right, I'm just going to make this easy. It's like me, like, shooting a free throw in basketball. Like, oh, yeah, this is relatively easy. He just makes it look so smooth. But the rest of his profile just isn't that good. And Penix, I think the biggest thing for him was all the reports coming out of Mobile where the medicals look good. And that was the biggest question mark with Penix. What are the medicals and how does that impact potentially some of his mechanics? Because he doesn't always sync his upper and lower halves and his footwork gets a little wonky. Well, how much of that is because of the knee? And being able to parse out some of those questions, I thought was good. McCarthy still has some mechanical issues, but he's also 21 years old. He just turned 21 like 6 weeks ago. So I'm not super concerned because everything with that looks fixable. That's why he was having struggles throwing to his left. That's why he has struggles throwing the deep ball because it's just a little mechanical thing with his feet. And you drill that for an entire offseason, yeah, you can fix it. So like, I didn't really learn anything. I thought, like, Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels not throwing is that people are going to make it out to be something. I think it's a whole bunch of nothing. Like, what do they have to gain? They're already going to be top five picks. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing for them to gain. So why put yourself in a situation where you could look bad? And then all of a sudden you have J.J. McCarthy taking your spot and you fall to nine. And that's millions of dollars. It's not just going from, like, pick three to pick nine. That could cost you, like, $10 million. And that's a significant amount of money. And these guys may never get a good second contract. So there are a lot of things to consider with that. I learned nothing from the quarterbacks. They were fine. And like Sam Hartman is beautiful hair. We already knew that, but it's
nice.
It's next level beautiful hair.
We learned, I mean, better than yours. I mean, you got luscious, nice hair. You would even put it above yours.
My hair is nice.
Not
That's
Sam Hartman.
Better than my hair.
That's better.
That's better than my hair.
Who's that Wyoming kid?
Frank Crum. Frank Crum looks like John Daly and Brock Lesnar had a child.
Yeah,
like giving that in a derogatory way. It's like the
state tournament hockey
shape.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. Look at this guy.
It's like the hockey state tournament. Yeah, it looks like the hockey state tournament hair to me. Like when they do that every year, I think. What is it?
Yeah, that's great.
That's this week.
Yeah, it is. It's coming up
this week. Oh, yep. Yeah, that is. That's timing. Right timing.
In Minnesota, for those unaware, the Minnesota Hockey Tournament is one of the craziest tournaments, and not just in high school sports, but in all of sports. Literally sells out the XL.
It was fun to go to when I was in high school. Like, I haven't been since, but a lot of fun.
Miles, do you make anything about quarterbacks, like especially those three, like not throwing at the combine? Is it kind of a nothing burger? And it also, any other QBs or anything that stood out to you from the quarterback prospects at the combine?
Yeah, like Forno said, I don't really see it as an issue, like especially when guys are graded as highly as these three are. And all you can do at that point is like make yourself look worse, I think. And as we've seen, like some guys just didn't look as good as they would have probably hoped, and some guys look better. Only thing it does to me, guys that are like considered like the high, like the Marvin Harrison Juniors, the Malik Nabers, like those guys along with the quarterbacks, like when they don't test, all it does is allow other guys to show out, but it doesn't mean that those guys are going to jump them in the pecking order. I think it just gives those guys a better opportunity to maybe like increase their stock, but I don't think they're jumping anybody. Like Rome Odunze for me is my wide receiver two. I know that's probably unpopular, but like he's been my wide receiver two since the offseason, like watching him. I like him a little bit more than Malik Nabers. Not because Nabers didn't test. I just think Roma Dunze can do it all. And that doesn't mean Nabers can't. I think Nabers is legit. Mm-hmm. But Roma Dunze, just for me, is like he has the whole package of what I look for in a receiver. But I know that's a hot take, but like it shouldn't be that big of a deal. I think that the top three receivers are top 10 picks either way. But in terms of the quarterbacks and not throwing, I don't really see it as a big deal. I think McCarthy and Bo Nix and Michael Penix are really the only guys that could really do anything and show anything. But Penix didn't run, so to me that doesn't really change anything. We know he's got a great arm. He didn't test otherwise. Like, the medicals sound like those went well, so that's good. But like, to me, he didn't really do anything to change his stock besides the medicals. Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. McCarthy's athletic. I think he showed that in the testing. We knew that. He's bigger than we expected him to be. On tape, that dude does not look very big. But, like, he's way bigger than I thought I expected him to be going to the combine, which doesn't seem – I'm the only one that's surprised by that. And then Bo Nix kind of just did exactly what I think I expected him to do. I think he's got good technique as a quarterback. I think he is accurate. But, like, we saw some of the worst throwing downfield and some of those things. But overall, like, I don't think anything surprised me in terms of, like, what some of these guys did. So I don't really think it changes anything.
All right, so the defensive line, you guys, we were talking off mic before we hit record, that kind of disappointed you. Now, guys like Chop Robinson, I think, like, the top guys, right, those guys performed well, or maybe I'm misspeaking here, but depth-wise, as a class-wise, you guys were a little disappointed. Forno, what were you and who were you maybe disappointed in from the defensive line side at the combine?
So this is a really difficult question to answer as I'm pulling up my board right now. It's not so much that they were disappointed. They didn't stand out. And it was just kind of like more like average to above average. And you didn't have guys like, you didn't have freak shows where you had like Dallas Turner, Chop Robinson, and then you have guys even a little lower in those edge group where they tested a little freaky. You didn't have a lot of that with this defensive line group. And that's not necessarily the worst thing in the world, but you'd like to see a little bit more. Like, I thought Chris Jenkins would even test a little bit freakier than he did, considering that, like, he was, I think, top five on Bruce Feldman's freaks list. And I thought a guy like McKinley Jackson, for his size, being, I think he weighed in at 321 pounds, PFF had him listed at 335. I thought he'd be a little bit more freaky, considering the movement skills that I saw on tape. And that's part of the difficulty of this evaluation. And I just expected more, and we didn't get it, but they weren't a disaster either. It was kind of that really lukewarm area. And I'll kind of relate it to, because I think it's an important discussion, even though it's not D tackle at all. Former Gopher Bucky Irving came in 192 pounds and his relative athletic score was like 2.2, something like that. Just utterly awful. And when you watch him on tape, it's like, this guy looks really athletic. He looks quick. He doesn't have like super game breaking speed, but he's got juice. And then you come into a situation like this and he doesn't have juice at all. It's like, what happened? What happened to this guy?
Kind of remind me of that.
And it's fascinating to me. And that's why I always reference, hey, go look at the tape and then go see what you missed. And if you didn't miss anything, maybe this guy just stinks at track and he's just got the goods in the game. Because Kyren Williams tested abysmally 2 years ago. Last year, he had like, 15 touchdowns with Rams. So some of this is, you want to just use it to base or answer questions based off what you saw on tape. And it's like, okay, I still have questions about Brock Bowers and his explosiveness and how much of what he did at Georgia is going to translate to the NFL, especially when you talk about spacing. But he didn't run. He didn't do any of those tests. So I have to wait until his pro day to try and see, okay, how am I going to answer this question? And that's where some of this comes into play. Like, the D tackles are fine.
So, Miles, the Vikings, when they're mocks at 11, you know, there's a ton of edge and defensive lineman targets that are at 11 or even right below their pick. So there's a lot of options on the board there. Did anyone stand out more to you? Were you surprised that none of those guys that Forno talked about, like, showed up in freakish ways and tested out of the water? And we'll get into a little bit of a test breakdown, too, after this. But what did you take away from the defensive line group at the combine?
Well, yeah. So, are we talking edge or D-line? Like, because if we talk both, like, obviously, like, kind of like Forno said, I don't think anyone besides Braden Fisk, obviously, he's the guy that, like, blew it up as an interior D lineman. Nobody really, like, truly stood out. Devondre Sweat, he's just huge, but that dude's, like, He moved better than you probably even thought he would. A 5'2" 40 for a dude that big is really good. But also at the same time, like, I don't think anybody like truly like stood out besides like those two from the interior D-line. I think guys did fine, but nobody, like, you're not like sitting here being like, oh my God, that dude rose his stock. Like, Braden Fisk is probably the only guy that, like, you're like, okay, he's probably separating himself from some of the guys he's in the same tier with. From an edge standpoint, though, like, Dallas Turner to me is, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the first edge taken. But I also think a guy like Chop Robinson, I know I've seen a lot of mocks have him in like the early second, late first. He could go higher than that. Like, it wouldn't surprise me at all based off of the testing and that, if he went higher, just because those freak athletes like that, like at edge especially, you want to take those chances on. Go get those guys. Like, Daniil Hunter is like such a complete outlier, like, for what happened to him as a Viking. Like, and I know we try to chase that, but like, that's a complete outlier. Like, that type of athlete without a lot of production should still be a first round pick because of that freak athleticism and size and all those traits. So I think like a Chop Robinson's probably going to be a higher pick than even what we're expecting to be right now. But like, for the Vikings at 11, if it's not quarterback, like, you give me any of those. I think Latu was the only guy that didn't like truly like dominate as an edge rusher, as a top tier edge rusher, but I still like him. I don't think anybody was truly surprised by the testing, but you'd probably like to see a little bit more explosion. But at the same time,
athleticism was never his game. I thought it was pretty good.
No, that's it. Like, I'm not saying it was bad, but it wasn't like anything that like blew you away. It's not like like Dallas Turner, Chop Robinson, those Jared Verse, like those guys showed how much burst and athleticism they have, which for teams probably creates that idea that they have a little bit more ceiling, right? And a little bit more upside. I think Latu is kind of like that. You know, I think you know what you're getting with him, but that's still a really good player. But like those guys, it still like puts you in range. I think where the Vikings are at 11, if they go edge rusher and don't go quarterback first, I still think they're in range to get one of those like top four edge rushers, maybe even top two, three guys, depending on where the board falls. But it wouldn't surprise me if we see one or two of those guys be in that top 10 range.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
All right, so why don't you explain to me like I'm five, i.e. Michael Scott, and also the audience too. So when we see, let's start with this one too. Let's start with RAS scores. So RAS scores is something you see graphics all over the place right after the combine and leading up to the draft. And yeah, it's got some things that are self-explanatory, like 40-yard dash, but it also has, you know, their weight. And then there's obviously a ranking of what, 1 to 0 to 10 scale. Forno, in my Michael Scott way, explain the RAS score to me like I'm five. And also, what does that mean for NFL draft prospects and where they could be drafted that help their stock? What are those for, and how does that help players?
So the process is very simple. It is grading you among your peers since the combine started. I believe that all the data dates back to 1987 or 89. So if you are a perfect 10.0, that means you have a 100th percentile score. So just move the decimal point.
Right.
All right. And if you are a 100th percentile, that means you are a Calvin Johnson. You are Jordan Davis. We're talking freaky, freaky athletes. And like 9.72, 97.2 percentile. So of everybody that's ever run a 40-yard dash, if you are at 9.72, 97.2 percentile of all the players at that position. And it's to help you gather data and compare it to everybody else. And it's a nice tool. It's fantastic, but it is also not gospel. It does not give you every piece of information. I'd say I use testing numbers approximately like 10-ish% of my grade. because on film, the film was what matters most. You still have to play football. There's a reason why track guys don't, a lot of times, don't succeed in the NFL. Like, you'll have guys like, oh, I think I can play, and then they never really make it. Like, the one, like, true track guy, not guys who have run track, like Bullet Bob Hayes, like, he made it in like, the 60s and 70s, but those guys don't necessarily translate because there's so much nuance with football, and it's so difficult to learn, and you have to have so many little things in movements and be able to have, like, sense things that are coming, and when you pair all that together, that's why I kind of just use relative athletic score as a nice tool. I think Kentley Platt does a fantastic job of updating it, and he's built it so everything is relative based on your peers, and I think that's really important. And if a guy ends up with like a, like Cooper Kupp, I think had a 65th percentile relative athletic score. Well, it didn't necessarily account for some of the things that are the advent of analytics now. GPS tracking. Yeah, he didn't run a fast 40, but you're not going to call him slow when you watch film. He's beating guys deep. Remember that divisional playoff game against the Bucks where he absolutely torched Antoine Winfield Jr. deep, and Winfield ran like a fringe 4.4 40. He's fast. Well, game speed matters too, and that's why it's another piece to the puzzle. And it's a good piece, but it isn't gospel.
So, Miles, when you look at those RAS scores and also just all the combine measurements that they do, is there one that really like stands out? Yeah, I mean, freak athletes is awesome, and know that that's going to translate to more success. But are there certain figures that you tend to look at that kind of helps stand out for prospects? I'm also aware that, you know, an offensive lineman not running a quick 40-yard dash time is going to be the best thing that helps him, and everything is a little different. But what type of things do you look for when you see these athletic grades and these RAS scores and all that information results come out?
Yeah, I think for key positions like offensive line, D-line, and running backs, is like those three, for me, the 10-yard split. The 40-yard, it's nice. Like, it's nice if you can run a – but, like, that 10-yard split for those guys – is so important because they hit those top, you know, those top tier numbers that, like, especially O-line and D-line, they're working within that space, like that, you know, 5 to 10 yard space. So if they're explosive in those ranges, that's more important to me than their long speed, because they're not expected to be running 20, 30, 40 yards on any given play. It's nice if they can have that long speed, but I don't think it's a necessity. I think it's that 10 yard split is really important, though. How fast are they off the ball? Especially, and running back can kind of fit in there too. Then I look at other positions like edge rusher, wide receiver, corner. I think the 3-cone and the 20-yard shuttle is really important. That change of direction speed, that ability to get in and out of breaks, those types of things is really important. That bend, those things are really important. Yes, you want all these guys. You want to be fast, long speed, but it doesn't equate to everything you do on the field as well. You're not always running 40 yards on every single play. So if you can be quick, if you can have that like change of direction, I think that stuff's as important as a pure 40-yard dash. So maybe even more important, especially for wide receiver for me, especially the way the NFL is. You know, you have your deep speed guys, you have those guys, but there's a role for all types of different receivers in the NFL. Not everybody's a 4.4, 4.3 type of guy. And like a Keenan Allen's a great example, obviously my favorite player. I'm sure if anybody follows me, they know how big of a Keenan Allen fan I am. That dude's 40 doesn't matter, just because that dude is so quick and so explosive in the short and intermediate that he can win in so many different ways. Like Cooper Kupp we talked about as well. Like, you don't have to be a blazing fast guy, but if you have that change of direction and those abilities like that, I think it works as well, and it can translate to the next level.
Anything else from the combine that stood out to you, Forno, whether it's players, whether it's results, whether it's what process to go forward? That could even be a bigger question on another episode of Purple Daily on Draft. But what else did you take away from the combine before we wrap up here?
Two things. Kevin O'Connell did join the broadcast on Saturday, and he talked about Kirk Cousins, and everything seemed to be past tense, kind of like they kind of know he's leaving. That was just kind of my read on it. But it was really interesting that he directly alluded to people tampering with Kirk Cousins, which is kind of funny because it's like the worst kept secret that everybody tampers in the National Football League. So don't expect any kind of real investigation, because everybody does it. And nobody's really going to call anybody out at the combine because they know they're just going to be hypocritical. Now, if you do it other places, then you'll probably have some conversations. But at the combine, everyone does it. And two, look, if the Vikings can't get a quarterback, and let's say they end up re-signing Kirk Cousins, I will not fault them if they take a wide receiver at 11 or 42 and just say, screw it, let's just go all out and let's make this happen. Would it be the smartest decision? That's a very good discussion point, and that's something we could potentially talk about. I've talked about on my show, but this wide receiver class is nuts, and if you have multiple good pass catchers, and especially for this year, you're probably not going to have TJ Hockenson for at least half the year, maybe not at all.
Yeah.
So it's a good stopgap, plus it's good team building by having multiple guys, because you need 3, 4, 5 targets in modern NFL to really be successful.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Miles, what did you make of KOC's comments? And, you know, yeah, basically not admitting that there's tampering going on and just that Kirk's has all options open, which, yeah, we all kind of already knew too before he took the mic and said that. But what did you make of Kevin O'Connell's comments about Kirk?
Well, I thought going into the week when we first heard KOC, his tone was like super excited and he was really optimistic. Obviously, that was probably before they had true like negotiation discussions with Kirk at the combine and at Indy. But that conversation on Saturday was a lot different. Like that, yeah. The way he sounded was a lot different than going into the combine. And that to me kind of says maybe he's not as confident as he might have been going into the week where things stand. And what he's hearing from other teams and their interest in Kirk and what they might be willing to pay him might be a little bit stronger, obviously stronger than what the Vikings are. Otherwise, I think the Vikings would have already extended him. So I think that was one of the big things for me. But also, like what Forno was saying about tampering, I laughed because I think I quote-tweeted Forno in that because I'm like, everybody does it. Like, mm-hmm. So it's funny that he's mentioning it as if like he's upset about it. Like he wasn't doing the same thing down in Indy. So that's why I thought it was really funny. But yeah, I don't think it changed anything. All teams do it. But I think that's fun. I think getting to hear what all the rumors coming out of Indy, it is like it's truly the start of the offseason for the NFL new league year starting next week. It just kind of really gives you a little bit more insight in what teams have interest in. So I think it just kind of shows that the Vikings are bracing themselves to be without Kirk Cousins a little bit more than I think we thought even just a couple weeks ago. And so I think that just kind of creates that little bit more of a, not a panic this week, but it changes a little bit more of what their approach going into next week, I think. And whether they whether they're willing to like give and take with a Kirk contract or not, will be leading. But if Kirk's really wanting to hit that market by Monday, the legal tampering period, then the Vikings are probably just going to have to say thanks but goodbye, because if he hits that void date window on, was it 12th or 13th? 13th. Then if that comes and goes and the Vikings don't have an extension with him, then you don't have any justification to bring him back at that point.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild next week on obviously for the NFL with free agency and everything. We'll be ready to break that down as well. So plenty of great stuff to get to on Purple Daily here. Another episode coming at you with Mackie, Judd, and myself as well later today. Hit that subscribe button. This is Purple Daily on Draft. We get close to draft. Hit us up if you want us to break down any prospects, especially now that there's a little bit more tape out and a little bit more results out from the NFL Combine. We will gladly do that on this podcast. Hit the subscribe button. Daily Vikings Entertainment. This is Purple Daily on Draft.